Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. It's recently been reported that it's cheaper for food to go to waste than getting it to charities to provide for meals for those in need. Also, that funding given to farmers by the government to give their fresh, unsold food to charities has been removed. I find both of those elements extraordinary. Why is it, though, and what is being done about it? Well, Fair Share in the Midlands, the food redistribution charity, are backing a national campaign called Food on Plates, and Fair Share have been on Friday Night Clive and Drive Time with me in the past. And on the line to tell me more about it is Simone Connolly. Good evening, Simone.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for joining me. First of all, tell me about the work then of Fair Share and specifically Fair Share Midlands.
Yeah, so Fair Share is a national charity. We've got regional centres right from Aberdeen in Scotland right down to Cornwall. And we all do exactly the same thing. There's 21 regional centres. We all do exactly the same thing. We basically work in between the food industry and the voluntary sector. What we do fundamentally is we provide a solution to the food industry for when their supply becomes surplus for a huge range of reasons. Mm. So when good quality food becomes surplus, we actually provide a solution to the food industry to link that food up to thousands of community organisations and charities who are operating on the front lines, supporting some of the most vulnerable people in some of the most deprived communities across the country. So, yeah, we all do exactly the same thing, and that's what Fair Share Midlands does. Fair Share Midlands is quite a big organisation mm-hmm. compared to some of the other Fair Share regional centres. We cover a square mile of 11,000 square miles from kind of the East Coast right to the Welsh border, and we support around 70,000 people a week via a network of about 550 community organisations from about 8 warehouses. So when people think of Fair Share, quite often journalists in particular think, you know, food banks, you know, people think of, and it's a much bigger network of organized, you know, warehouses. We've got vans on the road, we have Arctic lorries delivering into us, 60 lorries a week into our warehouses in the Midlands. So when you think about surplus food, it is very much like the food industry. It's big scale. There's lots of food coming through our network and being delivered out to community organisations.
Now, you've stated that
all of that food.
Sorry, do go on.
I would say not all of that food, because we do receive donations as well, but all of that food would have been sent to either anaerobic digestion or, worse still, landfill if it wasn't for the Fair Share network. So we're providing quite a vital solution to the food industry and to the voluntary network.
Now, you've stated that millions of tons of fresh unsold food is being wasted. Who's doing the wasting and why? And I could probably hedge my bets who it is.
I think my job over the past 14 years has been trying to educate people that actually when you produce food or anything, you're going to have surplus. So what I'd love listeners to try and kind of understand is it's okay. You know, it's okay to have surplus. And we'll never move away from that because, you know, the retailers want their shelves to be full. A consequence of that is that up the supply chain, food is going to get wasted. Retailers account for a massive part of the economy, and, you know, producers, manufacturers need retailers' business, so invariably they will overproduce to make sure that they can provide the products and the stock that their retailers need. And this goes on at the supply chain, and we'll talk about farmers in a minute. What is the scandal is if the food industry, and in particular retailers, don't engage with organisations like Fair Share, because we're not the only redistributor, to do something positive with that surplus food. So when that food is allowed just to go to waste, that is not good for anybody. It's just complete waste of energy. It's not feeding people. It's not doing anything useful. So surplus food is okay. It's when it's wasted and sent to renewable energy, particularly when people are going hungry in this country, mm-hmm. by the millions, that's when it's not good. But that's essentially why Fair Share exists, to work with, engage with the food industry, to provide them those solutions that are very much needed to kind of connect that surplus food that's on the supply chain to organisations that are supporting vulnerable people.
What do you think can be done, though, Simone, to change the behaviour of the supermarkets? Because you made an interesting point that they do want their shelves to be fully stocked, absolutely, because aesthetically it looks good. But also yeah. then there is a bounty of stock there for people. But, you know, surely it's a behaviour change that they need to adopt, because if they're wasting, then they're wasting their own money.
Yeah, I think it's not just it is as the public, as consumers. You know, we want products on shelves. We want the products to look good. You know, we all know kind of, you know, the terminology wonky veg. The food industry are doing a huge amount to kind of encourage consumers to buy those kind of products. But you know, these things aren't kind of quick fixes. I mean, the food industry are. They work hard. You know, you've got to remember that the food industry is kind of governed by, you know, shareholders and their bottom line. So they'll be doing everything they can to reduce food waste. So it's not that they're not actively trying to reduce food waste. It will just always exist in the supply chain. So and that's why the food industry, further up the food chain, retailers, distribution, are starting to put, not starting to, but have done for years, put investment into working with organisations like Fair Share. Mm-hmm. The challenge further at the supply chain, farmers, is that their bottom line is much smaller.
Yeah, I was coming on to this.
Their ability to redistribute food is just not viable for them, and that's why you know, we'll talk about the campaign in a minute. But so kind of, you know, further at the supply chain in terms of, you know, retailers and those that sell food and are able to work with organisations like Fair Share and redistributors and do really good work in their community are doing. There's loads of positive work going on. I mean, we work with 560 food organisations nationally, so it's just logistically challenging and expensive, and therefore it becomes a bit of a prohibitor for farmers and producers.
But the thing is with farmers, you know, if the food's going to waste or not going to where it needs to be, I don't understand why they produce so much, because as you've said, their bottom line is a lot less than, say, the supermarket giants. So surely if you produce less to reduce that wastage, your operating costs drop.
Well, yeah, but you know, crops aren't. There's no. It's not. It doesn't quite work like that, does it? And actually, if the big retailers want their products today, they're not quite ready for today. They're ready for next Friday. Will that retailer go somewhere else? What happens to those products? It's very complex.
Yes,
they are trying not to waste products. They are absolutely. You know, they do. The whole supply chain does everything they can to try and not waste. Products, but it will still happen, and you know, it's a complicated process. But even it just the surplus won't go away. That's not going to change. So is it better trying to, you know, keep banging on that kind of drum, if you like, and trying to get them to change it? And actually, there's still going to be so much surplus food being ploughed back into fields, or whilst that surplus food is there, should we not be campaigning to do something positive whilst it's there? But also, absolutely, in the background, yes, be doing everything we can to continue to reduce that surplus as well as.
Well, this now brings us very neatly onto the Food on Plate campaign that Fair Share is pioneering. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, in 2019, we actually had a bit of a breakthrough, I have to say. With the government and got quite a significant amount of support. So the funding didn't actually come to Fair Share. We coordinated the funding. So I think the fund was for £2 million in 2019. And what that allowed us to do is engage with and work with kind of farmers and producers in the food industry, understand their challenges and barriers in the sense of, you know, why can't they afford to redistribute that food? Mm-hmm. Why do they have to plough that food back into the field? Why is it cheaper? And what can we do to work with them to provide solutions to enable them to do something much more positive with that surplus food if it can't reach the stores? And that made a massive difference. But the funding came to an end in March last year, and everyone will know in March last year is when COVID kicked off.
That's right.
So, and DEFRA did put a huge amount of funding into the emergency response, which was to support organisations like Fair Share to buy food. So, you know, we can't really criticise the government because they did put a huge amount of funding into kind of that emergency response. But what it's not necessarily allowed them to do, but what they're not doing now is kind of refocusing their kind of, you know, plans around the environment. And they haven't got any plans to put any more investment back into supporting redistribution. And that's why we're campaigning and lobbying really hard, because we saw the positive difference it made to food companies, growers, farmers, but in particular to the community organisations, the, you know, the 12,000 community organisations that we already engage with, but also we can engage with more organisations, help to feed more people if the government put more investment into it. So this time round, we're asking for £5 million, but it might seem like a lot to listeners, but the government put a huge amount of investment into renewable energy. So really what I'd like to see, as a director of, you know, a Fair Share, is a level playing field. And if they put £30 million into renewable energy, put £30 million into redistribution. And that might be, you know, working with farmers and producers to help them with solutions to that surplus food. That's not just about redistribution, but, you know, how can they reduce that? But put some investment into it to kind of help that issue, because it isn't going to go away.
No, as you've said.
So that's what we're asking for. We're asking for what would seem like a significant amount of money to listeners in comparison to what other schemes around kind of energy and food the government are investing in. It is a very small amount, really.
Well, I'll say £5 million is really a drop in the ocean compared with the £30 million that you've said about you know, renewable energy. But, you know, I guess you've got people in your corner backing your campaign. Who have you got?
Well, you know, local MPs, absolutely. Whoever we talk to, yeah, exactly what you just said, it's a drop in the ocean. They should be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, Liz Kendall, you know, a number of kind of local Midlands MPs. I know that Fair Share National are talking to MPs. Of course, the 12,000 community organisations that we link up with, who collectively support about 1 million people, they'll all be kind of backing this. You know, the whole voluntary sector. You know, those that are concerned about the environment, even, you know, of course, the food industry, farmers, producers, they don't not want to help. It's just they need a little bit of support. And it's mainly about logistics. It's about helping them get that food from their farm into the Fair Share network so that we can then redistribute that to organisations. So what we're trying to avoid, I have to say, in this country is it becoming a kind of tax, a legislation to the food industry. In France, it's legislation that the food industry, they have to redistribute their surplus food.
Right.
And they redistribute six times the amount that we do in this country. I mean, there are some flaws with that. But, however, the volume of people that they can support, because it is legislation, is much more. So it's a much better solution for them. So we're trying to kind of, you know, lobby and work with the government to come up with solutions to prevent that happening to the food industry. You know, we want to work in
That's
harmony
right.
with the food industry, with the government and the voluntary sector. So we want to avoid taxation and legislation. We want the government to go, you know what, this is a real problem, so let's just put a bit of investment into it and let's see what a difference we can make.
Because the long-term benefits surely far outweigh the you know, the capital cost of that investment.
Yes, and that's what we're, you know, absolutely, and that's
I
what we're
see
trying
that from
to.
What you've said.
To yeah, that's what we're trying to demonstrate. You know, it's not just about poverty though. It's surely listeners can understand. It's never good to waste good food, is it? You know,
no.
Good food's being produced. All the energy that goes into producing that food, it really shouldn't just be going back into the ground or to anaerobic digestion or worse still into landfill. Especially when, you know, people are going hungry. You know, there's millions of children in this country that go without good food. You know, parents go without a meal to feed their children.
Something's badly wrong somewhere.
Yeah, and we're not trying, you know, Fair Share is not trying to provide the solution to poverty. That's not what we're here to
no.
do. But we know, because we're very close to it, you know, people know that food is wasted across the food industry. I think we have to recognise that surplus food is, it's not food waste, it's surplus food. Mm. It's a byproduct of production. That let's just do something really good with that food. Let's help to feed people. And there's some fantastic food out there that can make a real difference. Mm. And we do that at a big scale already, but we want to do more because it's needed.
If the Prime Minister was sitting in this studio now, or the Minister for Food, what would you say to them? And keep it clean.
Wow, that is a very good question. Just consider this, you know, look at the facts, the difference that the funding in 2019 made. Really take it seriously, consider your autumn spending review, and, you know, given all of the kind of facts and information, research and insight that we're providing to you, do consider it seriously and commit to it. You know, we delivered on all the outputs in 2019 in terms of the emergency response, fair share, and the wider voluntary sector delivered on all of the outputs of that funding that you ring fenced to feeding people. So we've proven that your investment will make that investment work. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely needed. They can't ignore the figures. Absolutely. They can't ignore the facts. They can't ignore the fact that thousands, millions of people are in poverty. So work with us and we'll help you to make a difference.
How much food has Fair Share... How much food has Fair Share distributed during the pandemic, Simone? Can you identify that and how it compares with before the pandemic?
Well, Fair Share Midlands, we distributed enough food to make about 19 million meals over the last 12 months. So we more than doubled our output. And actually last night I attended an award ceremony and we won Charity of the Year. So good recognition for...
Congratulations, that's really good.
Incredible hard work that the whole of the network put in. But we just upscaled. We made the impossible possible. Mm-hmm. But that was really, you know, we as an organisation, we've got a very big infrastructure compared to other charities and other redistributors. So for the government, we kind of provided that reassurance and confidence that we could handle, you know, millions of pounds worth of food and connect that food up to the communities and people that need it the most. And we did a great job, but it was hard work. And so to receive the award last night was a good testament to all the hard work and commitment by, you know, our thousands
Absolutely.
Of staff and volunteers.
Now, obviously, there's a cost. There's a cost associated getting that food redistributed. How are you funded?
So we have a mixed kind of funding model. So we're a charity, so fundraised income, so we have to fundraise for income, all of the charities, and we have a membership charging structure. So we support about 550 charities, and we charge them a small membership fee. Mm-hmm. When I say small, it's small in comparison to the value of the food. So
yes.
That kind of gives us a reliable, regular income. But, you know, the food and the service is excellent value for money. So we don't have any issues with that. But, you know, by the same token, we encourage our members, the voluntary group, the charities team, to also try and levy a fee so that they can be sustainable. And that's the thing. We shouldn't be scared to say, look, you know, money does cross our path because we need to exist. All of the charities that we work with, they need to be sustainable. You know, their service and the food that they provide is vital.
Mm.
So we want them to keep open for a long time and to keep providing that lifeline, really, to
sure.
the communities that need it the most.
What are you asking members of the public to do then to support the campaign? How can we all get involved?
I think the best way to get involved is to go onto Twitter. And the campaign is actually hashtag food on plates. So if people go onto social media, onto Twitter, and kind of look at the hashtag, look at the posts, and follow the campaign. There's lots of information about the campaign and how people can get involved. I think that's the best way. If anybody knows any MPs who could potentially be influential, speak to them, bang on their door. Supportive, if people have, you know, tonight have heard, you know, that they think this would be a worthwhile investment for the government to make, then, yeah, just do what you can really to advocate for us.
And your website address as well, that's fairsharemidlands.org.uk, is that correct?
Yeah, but also for this campaign, do go onto the national website, which is just fairshare.org.uk.
Lovely. So that's the best place to start then, fairshare.org.uk.
Yes, for this campaign specifically, yeah. And then if you've got listeners that think, wow, you know, it sounds like a fantastic charity, you know, I've got a bit of spare time, you'd like to volunteer, go onto the Fair Share Midlands website. There's kind of inquiry routes. Please do get in touch. You know, there's all contact details on our website. But yeah, we just, you know, for me tonight is about kind of raising the profile of the campaign, but also the what I think is the fantastic work that Fair Share and our community organisations provide to people that really are struggling and will continue to struggle over the next 2 years.
Simone Connolly from the award-winning Fair Share, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.